The Nationals' decision to abandon net zero has been heavily criticised by environmental advocates and members of the farming community, who say the move could weigh heavily on agriculture and our regional communities. Regional Australians already bear the brunt of climate change, with many warning this backflip on the party's climate promise will only increase exposure to extreme weather events and reduce opportunity. Fourth-generation farmer Sophie Nichols has adapted to renewable energy for the past 4 to 5 years on her farm. She says the decision highlights total disconnect between Nationals politicians and young farmers living in their electorates.
One of the hardest things is to leave the farm, really. I mean, in the last week, we've had a severe thunderstorm and now we've got a total fire ban today. So the changeability of weather means it's much harder to predict how to go forward with the farm, about where to move livestock, when to put in cover crops, when to water. It's a lot more anxiety producing. I can remember when we were little and my parents were involved in the farm, we used to go away around Christmas time. But now I wouldn't dream of leaving the farm around Christmas in the fear of catastrophic bushfire and the intensity of the winds and the heat here.
And in terms of the recovery around those events, what has that looked like over the years as well?
I think it's what you call weather whiplash. You go from fire to flood, back to drought, back to floods, and there's no real gentle season. And I think that's, they always talk about that poem, Floods and Fire, by that Australian poet, but I think it's worse now. And that means that you don't ever necessarily get a break. So during this winter that we've just experienced, it was incredibly wet. And we generally don't get that type of winter rain. So when we calve in winter, it's not that wet. So when we had these floods, we had even cows and calves at foot. It was quite difficult to manage. And we basically ended up having to do a much more European system. You spend a lot more time and money fixing fences rather than investing in improvements in the farm. You're investing in fixing elements that have been affected by weather.
You've adapted to renewable energy. What does that look like and how has that changed the scenario for you?
So we've basically halved our electricity costs. So we've invested in solar and battery. The biggest issue now, though, is that because we do have an orchard on the farm, and kind of a small scale, but still commercial orchard, is that we do a lot of watering during the night time. I would like to see a lot more incentive for farmers like myself to be able to invest in batteries so we can still use power over the night. It's something that I will continue to invest in. And just looking at the drop in prices of battery, I mean, I put mine in 4 years ago. I'd say it's about 30% less upfront cost, and again lower my power bills substantially. So it's innovative technology, and if I would like my farming family generation to continue to another fifth, sixth, then I have to adapt to these technologies.
The Nationals have formally abandoned their commitment to net zero by 2050. What impact do you believe this could more broadly have for regions and farmers across Australia, especially in relation to production or regarding incentives to transition to renewable energy?
It's a bit of a betrayal for young farmers. And I think when they talk about net zero, I don't think a lot of people, you know, including young farmers and farmers more broadly, even know their carbon position. You mean, we've spent a lot of money investing in how much CO2 we produce and how we can get that down. And of course, you can look at your diesel and petrol cost and your electricity bill, but you do have to have a holistic understanding of that. And I think if you just drop it all together, our understanding of net zero position just falls by the wayside as well. And we need to understand how much CO2 we're producing if we're going to provide food and fibre to the community. So I would like to see farms invest in ways of understanding their position from both environmental and economic outcomes. But if you drop it all together, then those kind of innovative practices get dropped. And I think that Australia just doesn't progress like the rest of the world. More research and innovation is needed in net zero. I mean, I understand that some people are scared, but that doesn't mean that you step away from it entirely. That just means you invest further in research and communication strategies.
On that note, I've heard a few different views coming from regional areas. Some want the transition and others believe it won't work or they have reservations. Can you perhaps elaborate on this, divide in perspectives from what you understand?
So from where I am, so I'm based in the Singleton in the Hunter, one of the biggest issues is that the transmission lines are going on prime agricultural land. And I think there are concerns that the renewable is taking over farming landscapes, but it's a bit of a difficult position for the Nationals, which I don't think a lot of people are aware. But there is also, they haven't said, so the Nationals, that was one of the reasons that they didn't want the transmission lines on prime agricultural land, but they're not actually saying anything about the gas pipeline, the Santos gas pipeline that they're pushing forward. There is a lot of energy that's going on our land, and we have to decide whether we want industries we want on that land. And I think with a renewable rollout, I would like to see a lot more going on post-mining landscapes and maybe even consider putting it underground rather than on prime agricultural land. And that's one of the main issues for farmers in this area. But I don't think we're even discussing the fact that the Nationals aren't saying anything about the gas pipeline. They don't want the renewables, but they're happy for gas, which just indicates that they're still stuck in the path of this coal and gas. When, like myself, we've had solar for a very long time, and now we've just put in more of the batteries. I don't have the mindset that my farm needs to be rely on coal and gas, and I think they're still stuck in the past, and it's disappointing for young farmers like myself to have leaders of that mindset.
We know that farmers play a major role in our economic development, but also in terms of providing the country with good food sources. What impact do you think a move away from net zero could have on this?
If we don't address climate change, then we will just end up producing climate subsidised food and fibre. We will just have to get, I think certain models like this exist in America where farmers end up in severe debt because of the climate disasters, and you just end up government subsidising food and fibre, and that's not economic for anyone. It means that farmers are reliant on the government, and the government have to then fork out a lot more money, and then just debt all round increases. I can't see food and fibre being produced any cheaper with climate change, but I can see electricity becoming cheaper. So you invest in lowering the cost of electricity, so then you can buffer the cost of food production, because we're still on track for a global increase even if we address climate change now. So you have to pick your battles, and in not adapting to the technology of bringing down electricity prices will just mean greater debt for farmers and government.
Now, you did touch on this a little bit. When it comes to moves like announcing a backflip on transition to, or commitment to net zero rather, by 2050, what do you think this signifies from political leaders when it comes to hearing everyday Australians, and particularly marginalised communities? What do you think this says?
Well, I think it shows a disregard for science, and I think it shows a disregard for our Pacific nations that are already feeling the cost of climate change much more perhaps than certain one of us. And I think it's very easy to say, oh, let's not put climate change on the front of the agenda when you work in an air conditioning office. You know, I mean, if I'm working out in summer, you know, I mean, it's extremely hot and very hard, and to note that the people that represent me in Parliament don't kind of see or feel the influences of climate change is, well, I suppose it just makes you despondent.
And what would you like to see? What do you think really needs to be heard from our politicians and our political leaders when it comes to potentially moving back towards net zero or climate goals, or even the health impacts?
The Nationals are supposed to represent farmers. No farm exists, you know, I mean, I can definitely say that as a fourth generation farmer. No farm exists if you don't adapt to technology and innovation. I mean, we get new genetics, we get new machinery. We do that annually. We're always getting the new stuff to keep up to date and to make the farm as profitable as possible and sustainable. I would like the National Party to realise that this is the way forward. This is the way the nation is going, and it's the way the globe is going. And for us to just say, no, we're not going to do it, I think it leaves us out on a limb and in a very delicate position. I would like them to get back to prioritising innovation on farming rather than prioritising their political agenda.
Fourth generation farmer Sophie Nichols speaking with me.